I was just complaining to Tabs that I didn't have anything to talk about tonight. So she said I should talk about dog rescue. And I could, but I can't do that in 5 minutes. Well, I can, but my version of why dog rescue is awesome is because you get to save dogs. Really, what else needs to be said? Instead, I wanted to tell you about how I got not my oldest dog, but my biggest dog, or at least biggest at the moment. His name is Max, and he's a spotted dog, and his picture is all over my blog and all over Facebook. He will be 5 in December. When I got him, we had Cleo, who was put down in June at the age of 13, and she was a 20-pound terrier mix, and she was black and white. And we had Zorro, who at the time was a 13-year-old Chihuahua mix, who was tricolor, but mostly red and white. And we knew that Zorro wasn't long for this world because he had a stage 5 heart murmur. And there's only 5 stages, by the way, in a canine heart murmur. So stage 5 is bad. And he was old. He had outgrown epilepsy, but he was old. So we were at PetSmart, as any dog owner tends to be on a weekend, buying dog food, and they had pet adoptions. And I looked at all the small dogs, and they were cute, but they really didn't interest me. And then there was a puppy. And actually, I wasn't even there when the puppy first came onto our radar, because I was next door in the fabric store buying stuff for my mother, because I was going to go visit her several months later, and she needed me to buy notions at the fabric store. So I get this text from my husband. It's a picture of this little scrawny black and white puppy. Look, doesn't it look like Cleo did when she was a baby? Well, it kind of did. I mean, it was black and white, but really, when they're 10 weeks, 8 weeks, 10 weeks old, whatever, all puppies look the same if they're the same color. They don't start differentiating into identifiable breeds until they're a couple of weeks older than that. Just a couple. It's amazing the difference between 8 weeks and 12. So I went to see the puppy, and of course I had to pick him up, and he immediately buried his nose into my neck and chewed on my earlobe and fell asleep. Which is not unlike some evenings with my husband, actually, but that's a whole other story. I didn't want a puppy. I'd done a puppy with Cleo. Cleo, who once ate live coax. Cleo, who once ate an entire shirt. Cleo, who once ate the backs out of brand new suede shoes while they were under my feet at my computer desk. Cleo was a monster puppy. She was 20, 25 pounds of terror. I didn't want to do that again, but then I found out that this puppy was on the euthanasia list, and at first I was shocked. I said, they don't euthanize puppies, but of course they do, because our shelters are terribly overcrowded, and at some point it's kinder to euthanize than it is to have a dog grow up in a cage, never seeing the sun, never seeing grass, never really being socialized. And it's unfortunate that some of our shelters have to do this, but they don't have unlimited space, and they don't have unlimited funds. And until everyone spays and neuters their pets, and no one buys from disreputable breeders, and only buys from breeders if you're planning to buy a show dog, then there's really never going to be an end to this. So I found out the puppy was on the youth list, and I said, well, I don't really want a puppy, but he's really cute. And he apparently wanted me. So we filled out an application, and at the same time, this group, Shelter to Rescue Coalition, was mentioning that they were looking for volunteer foster families. And I thought, well, I've heard about fostering, and they provide a crate, and they provide the dog, and you get to, like, try on different breeds of dogs. So at the same time that we applied to adopt the puppy, we also applied to become a foster home. So a couple of days later, Louisa, who is British and blonde and really sweet, came to my house and looked around and said, well, for a puppy, you need to make sure you fix that hole in the fence. It was one board that was kind of icky. So we blocked the hole, And she said, no, this is good. You have enough space where you can separate dogs if there's a problem, and there's ample space to put different crates and things. And it's obvious that you're not the kind of people who think dogs should be ornamental, because mine are all over the furniture. So she left, and I had to call her back and say, wait, so does that mean we're approved for the puppy? And she was like, oh, yeah, of course. And so a week later, we went back to PetSmart, and we took home a puppy, and we took home our first foster dog, a blue heeler named Blue. I didn't name him, on the same day. My friend Deb, who now lives in Ohio, actually came with us so that she drove with Blue and we drove with the puppy so that we could introduce them all separately. And it was great. It was a good meeting. Max, who is my puppy, and we found out his name was Maximus. That was the assigned shelter name, and we thought, okay, we'll keep it. So it was an appropriate name because he now weighs 82 pounds. After we were told he would probably be around 35. We were also told he was probably a heeler Boston Terrier mix, and he's actually a pointer mix, probably pointer and boxer, but sometimes we think it's pointer and Clydesdale because he's just huge. He's also really sweet. He's a wuss. He likes to sleep on my bed, but he gets off the bed exactly at midnight every night as if he was trained to do it, and he wasn't. He just does. And then he goes to his bed, and he was kind of really scary for the first 3 years, and then all of a sudden a switch went off in his head and he became calm. Blue stayed with us for all of a week. And in fact, at his first adoptions, 1 week after we got him, he was picked by a forever family, and they took him to their house in the country where he got to run around and play with kids, and that was awesome. But the next day, we found ourselves at the vet because Zorro's heart had burst. That was my Chihuahua. And so it was a sort of mixed bitter and sweet, because our first foster dog had gone to a home, but our oldest, sweetest dog was going to the Rainbow Bridge. So that was in February of 2009, and now it's August of 2013, and the crate that Max grew up in is now holding another puppy that we took home this March, Teddy, who is also huge. He's 7.5 months old and weighs 62 pounds, and he's a Brittany Aussie Catahoula Rottweiler mix, and he's also very sweet, and everyone thinks he's a lab because he's black with white splashes, but he's really not a lab. There's no lab in him, but he is the 26th dog to use this crate, and the 25 in between Max and Teddy, or 24 in between Max and Teddy, have included dogs like our current foster, Morgan, who is a pointer lab mix who is desperate for a home with energetic children and water to play in. And it included some temporary fosters, and sometimes it even included, well, once, a pair of senior Chihuahuas who were really, really sick. We had them over Christmas a couple years ago, and one of them was so sick it didn't make it through Christmas. He had an adopter waiting for him, but he was 14 or 15 years old, and we spent that Christmas Eve at the shelter having him put down because he had woken up that morning and all of his organs were failing. It was very sad. I had to call his adopter and say, you know this dog that you were waiting for? Well, his brother is still waiting for you, but you're only getting one dog, and this is what happened. She was very gracious. I had told her what we had done, that we had tested him for parvo to make sure our dogs weren't at risk, and that we had made sure he was held and loved until he was gone. So when I talk to people about the fact that there have been 24 dogs coming through my house in the last 4 years, when I talked to him about the fact that I spent Christmas Eve of 2011 sitting at a vet with a dog I'd only known for 3 days while he was put to sleep, they say, how can you do this? How can you possibly have a dog come in your house and fall in love with it and let it go? Or how can you do this knowing that the dog you take might be sick? And my answer is this. when you take a dog, what we do is we pull from shelters, from rural shelters that are currently kill shelters, which means when they absolutely have to, they have to euthanize for space. They don't have a choice. But they work really, really hard to try not to do that. And it's actually been like over a month since we've had to euthanize everybody, anybody, at any of the four shelters we work with. And this week we thought they were going to have to, and we managed to find rescuers and adopters and volunteers to get dogs out. Every time we pull a dog from one of those shelters and it goes into a foster family, then that means another dog can go into the shelter, or the dogs already in the shelter have more time and more of a chance to get adopted. When we pull a dog into a foster family, that dog gets to learn house manners. That dog gets to interact with people. We bring friends over who have kids. We take the dogs out to parks. We see how they interact with other animals. And that makes them more adoptable because they learn how to be in a house. They learn that you pee outside. They learn that you're not supposed to be on the furniture, because even though my dogs are allowed on my furniture, we never allow foster dogs to do that because you never know what the new family is going to want. So this is me rambling about foster dogs. And this is why I think it's awesome, because there is nothing more amazing than when a shelter pet looks up at you and realizes that you are a rescuer. And it doesn't matter if it's a dog or a cat, or there are people that actually rescue things like bunnies and other rodents like gerbils and hamsters. I have friends who rescue chinchillas. It doesn't matter what the animal is. They have this sense of gratitude that they can't convey with words, but you know it's there. And it feels really good to be able to help another creature. I also think that any animal that, or any house that doesn't have an animal is just all automatically sad. Birds, fish, whatever. Well, fish are furniture, but birds, dogs, cats, whatever. I think they make our lives happier. I think it's interesting to see life through a four-legged creature or two-legged creature's perspective. You know, animals are simple. They don't care if you have the latest fashion, and they don't care if you have cable or not. All they care about is that you throw a stick and rub them on the belly and make sure they're fed and give them a warm place to sleep, and they're pretty much cool. There are shelters and rescues all over the country that are looking for foster families. It's a great way to try on dogs. It's a great way to become a failed foster family, which means that you keep your foster dog. But I never keep the dogs we foster, because I know that every dog that leaves my house means a new dog can come in, which means another dog can go to the shelter, which means one more dog is off the street or out of an abusive home. So fostering is awesome, and animals are awesome, and Tabs is awesome for making me do this project. And I'm going to bed now because I'm rambling so much I have no idea what I'm saying. Thanks for listening.